Some people are aware of the seasons and some people are not. My assistant is a horticulturist. She's aware at every moment what day of the month it is and what flower is in bloom. Whereas most of my life I've been, you know, do I need a coat? Is it February or May? I don't know. We have a few Chinese characters concerning sub-zero climates.
Go ahead.
Well, we have Leng, which means cold. We have Liang, it's cool. They're used in different places. But an interesting character is Han. Han means cold, usually referring to a cold time of the year. And if we look at the ancient character there, we will see a house and we will see some grass or actually hay inside the house and a person laying in the hay and then some ice by his feet. So that's a very interesting character because it's completely a picture of how it would be in ancient China using hay or straw for insulation and being subjected to the cold. We also have a character, Nuan. It's has a sun on the side, which means warm.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
In any language, we have different words, and where and when we use them, it can be very complicated. We have Leng. The two, Leng and Liang, have what I call a two-dot water, or two dots which indicate ice. So they indicate cold. And then on the right-hand side, we have a phonetic. But exactly where and when, which conditions, is kind of hard to say. It's like, when do you use the word cold versus freezing or nippy or something like that? So it's hard to explain exactly. The word Han is usually used when referring to the weather. It's a weather condition. The word Leng.
I've heard this in a phrase, long bulong, like, is it cold or not cold? Like,
are you cold? It's like, is your body cold or not? Or is the coffee cold or not?
Okay. But Han has to do with the meteorology, like the actual climate.
I can't make it that simple, but the places where I hear it mostly used has to do with the weather. Meteorology. But
so which ones, they both represent the same amount of coldness? Because there's in English, you got cool, you got cold, and you go like, I'm freezing, or it's freezing outside. Like, which one?
One of my friends is a linguist, a world-famous linguist. He wrote his PhD thesis, several hundred pages, on the word sea. Things are complicated when you try to explain how you use them in a certain language. You see what I mean?
Right. As if you understand. That's like,
well, yeah. Any word, and if you try to explain where and when you can use it, becomes rather complicated.
Right.
But there are three different words, all meaning cold. From a character point of view, the character Han is more interesting than the other two.
I agree. Like Leng and Liang, they're probably more practical, functional characters. Like, here's how you say it and here's what it means. And then Han is more interesting in the sense of like that you actually can look at its original form and it paints a picture for you of what.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I don't know if you know this, but like when people are learning how to write Chinese characters, Is that made explicit? Like, here, do they teach like that this is the phonetic part and this is the meaning part, or is that something, or do students of Chinese characters?
I think mostly it depends on the student. It depends on the teacher, but most students simply learn by blind memorization and can't even, and in many cases can't even tell you which is what is a phonetic and what is not. Right. There is a huge amount of plain blind memorization, but different people know different amounts. It's sort of like we talked about reincarnation. You can figure it out, but probably most Americans can't. And some Americans can figure out lots of stuff about the language. It depends on the person a lot and the teacher.
I don't know if people have watched the episode yet, but there is a competition we have. And I don't know how to say this without...
The second round, skating. Because skating on an ice pond in sub-zero weather and soft ankle skates is not like skating on an ice rink. We can't master the balance in skating, and it is easy to fall down. So we leaned on some plastic supports. Even with its assistance, I still lost to Adam. Round three, cycling on ice. In this race, we need to ride an ice bike on the ice and go around the ice and see who gets to the finish line first, which is easy for me, but it was hard for Adam to control his bike, so it was a lot slower. And in this round, I was...
Well, one thing, okay, the skates, there was zero support on the ankle, and of course, I couldn't stand up. It's sort of like, putting...
You should stop complaining. You won the whole competition. So you shut your mouth. Don't even start like, oh, well, you know, I couldn't.
I mean, if both of us would have had real skates, we could have actually skated. But both you and me had to lean on that plastic thing in order to even stand up.
You know what I actually think it is? I went ice skating because I had to prove it to myself that I really can ice skate. I went to an ice skating rink with my daughter. And not only could I skate, I was keeping her up. Like, I could totally do it. And the skates were not any good, just as bad as the skates. I think it was just that was not like a curated ice platform. There were huge cracks and it was uneven. And there was even like snow on parts and chipped ice. And I think it was kind of humbling for both of us to realize that, oh, we don't really skate on actual ponds. When we have skated, we skated like on, you know, ice skating rinks with Zambonis, keeping it nice and flat and perfectly, you know, cleaned off and no big chunks of ice removed. Because that was a thing. I would glide and then it would stop. And then, you know, it would be slick and the friction, the coefficient of friction kept changing over and over again as I moved across the ice. Which, by the way, this is the one event I did win. And so, wait, oh no, I won two events. That's right. That aside, do you have experience in winter sports? I mean, what kind of sports do you like, if any? I know you're into, you know, if you call, I don't think you can call like cycling on the motorcycle. I don't think that's a sport, that's a hobby. But do you, what do you do to keep fit? Or do you?
Well, when I was younger, I like swimming and diving and scuba diving. And when I was younger, I did mountain climbing. Oh, and I'm a gymnast. I used to do horizontal bar. I used to competitive dive, and I did wrestling when I was young. But I was a gymnast once.
Wow. I think I remember when I was, I think, five, my parents were like, this would be good for your health. Why don't you try gymnastics? I did it for like 3 or 4 weeks, and I was like, I can't. This is, I have no core strength. I can't do this. That was a short-lived endeavor. Though I have to say, I was good at some sports, but yeah, gymnastics. That would have been, you know, if I would have stuck to it and really started. I don't know how you do that without training your body first. You have to have a specific type of muscle strength. You know, your stabilizer muscles, your core strength, all that stuff has to be really in place before you can actually do any of that stuff. Do you have to like train first and then do the sport, or do you get the strength while learning the sport?
No, I was in grade school. We had a horizontal bar, and there was this girl who was very good at it, and I liked her, and so I hung out on the horizontal bar every day. I don't know if I had any natural inclination, but
we know your inclination, Uncle Hansa. It was not. It was not about. Apparently, this is not love for the sport. This is love for a different type of sport. You're chasing girls on the horizontal bar? Okay, I get it.
Well, it's like I was 10, and you know, when you're 10, I mean, if you hang out on the horizontal bar like every day for like 2 years, you might get pretty good at it. But even if you're not inclined to be pretty good, right. And I think if you're 10, I think it depends a whole lot on where you accidentally happen to be. And I accidentally happened to spend a lot of time on the horizontal bar and became mm-hmm. pretty good at it.
Okay. So you like a lot of water sports, mountain climbing, gymnastics. Okay.
Yeah.
So what about like friends? Like for me, my family, one of our bonding thing was going out to the mountains. My sister still lives in the Rocky Mountains, you know, the biggest mountains in the USA. And we were really into, that was like our family bonding, snow skiing. But I didn't have many friends really that were good at it or enjoyed it. But what about you?
I used to go swimming and there was a diving board. Back then we had diving boards. It wasn't as if everybody was scared you're going to die and they took all the diving boards away. We had high dives and low dives back then. So you had the opportunity to become a good diver if you were inclined to.
No guts, no glory, right? If you're willing to get up, take those steps up to the top, you could learn.
Yeah. Also, my father was a very good athlete. He taught physical fitness most of his life.
Oh.
So I kind of got some of it from him, actually probably quite a bit. He also encouraged me to do dangerous things.
He was training you to be a stunt double in Hollywood, probably, is what is...
Actually, I got my father into mountain climbing, but we climbed some pretty good mountains, and we were on Table Rock, which has about a 300-foot cliff all the way around. And my father encouraged me to go, you know, he drew a line in the sand. He says, "Stand, put your toes next to this line. You're not afraid you're going to fall over the line, right? So go stand on the side of the 300-foot cliff." And so I went and put my toes on the side of the 300-foot cliff. And I was encouraged to do that by my father. He didn't say I had to do it, but he encouraged me to do things that many people would call dangerous.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, your fearless, inquiring mind, risk-taker kind of attitude. By the way, for those listening under 18, do not try this at home. Obviously, even though you grew up in Oregon, which I would assume, I've actually not been to Oregon, but there's mountains, you didn't do much winter sports, eh? So how did you kick my ass in this competition? What was the secret?
No, it was just child's play. But you're a good skier. I've never skied before, really. You know, I mean, we weren't professionals, but you're like a very good skier.
Well, thank you. So I get to have some kind of dignity. You know, the Chinese, what do you think are the Chinese attitude towards sports? Like, you told me earlier that you think there should be more in another episode, right? You told me that China should be focused more on extracurricular activities for their developing, you know, the next generation of Chinese. I mean, that could include the arts, that can include sports in a lot of ways. What do you think? There's a high regard? I mean, obviously they like the global attention. I mean, there's a lot of significance in holding the Winter and Summer Olympics. They're the first city to hold both, right? So there's obviously some type of intention to that, for Beijing to hold both the Summer Olympics in 2008 and then the Winter Olympics this year. Do you think there's a high regard for sports? What does that mean to you, and what do you think it means to the Chinese people?
Well, I'm not a person who watches spectator sports, but I think my father had a saying, every person should have their own sport. And when we were up there north, you know, most Chinese can't go out there and ski. They can't go out there and ski jump. But there are all kinds of things to do everywhere. You can go swimming, you can go bike riding, you can go base jumping. or other things.
Baby steps. You go straight to base jumping? Can we do like, you know, maybe, you know, sledding, or, you know, let's do cross country skiing. We don't have to jump off cliffs or anything, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think my father was right. It would be good for everyone to have their own sport. For some people, it's just riding a bike or skateboarding or, you know, basketball. Some people like basketball. Some people like...
Basketball was my sport growing up. Along with the snow skiing, I really was... I mean, I'm from Indiana. It's kind of, for some reason, they're proud of their basketball there. So I was... that was a big sport growing up for me. I would spend hours not only playing the sport, but like role playing, like, okay, there's 20 seconds left on the clock. Oh my God, Adam gets the ball. He dribbles to the left. He passes it to Adam. And then, you know, oh, he passes it back to Adam. And then Adam shoots. Buzzer. Swish, nothing but net. That type of thing. I would literally like not only practice the sport, play the sport, recreationally and on a team, but role play as a basketball star in my own mind. It was a big part of my childhood. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I totally cut you off.
Well, I was never into team sports. I've always been individual. I've always been my own thing.
You're a solo act. You're an individualist.
I'm an individualist, yeah. I was never into team sports, either watching them or participating in them.
Okay.
So it's interesting that you would imagine these things. Of course, I had my own fantasies when I was a child.
Well, literally, like, everyone on the team was me, so I don't know how much of a team sport my fantasies were. It was like, you know, Adam passes to Adam. He passes back to Adam. You know, it's like I was playing all the characters. I was even on the defense. I would steal. Oh, Adam steals from Adam. He goes, he breaks away. He's, oh, a dunk. You know, it'd be, if anyone knew what was going on in my mind, I would be laughed out of the schoolyard. But
we all have fantasies. If somebody else knew, that's one reason I never talk to myself. I don't want anyone else to know what I'm thinking.
Smart. Another lesson here. And the more you know from Uncle Hansa. Thank you for that public service announcement. Don't talk to yourself in public. Anyway, so let's see. So did you watch any of the Winter Olympics opening ceremony?
No.
At least nothing. Too busy deciphering the whole Chinese characters, that whole research thing, huh?
Yeah, sorry to say, I never watched it. I haven't watched TV in 20 years.
This is interesting. What would the Chinese characters be for the Winter Games? How would you even write that or say that?
Well, the Olympics, Olympica, is several characters that are taken only for pronunciation of the Olympics. So those kind of characters are not usually very interesting. if you chase the characters back, the characters themselves are interesting, but they have meanings unrelated to the Olympics. Well, there's two Chinese characters that are kind of interesting, Yun Dong, which means to exercise. I can tell you about the characters, the simplified characters. The traditional characters for Yun was Jun. It was a phonetic. It means like a military going forward, and it means to go forward. But when they simplified the characters, they used the character cloud, Yun, for the pronunciation. Now, how about Dong? Dong is pronounced Dong, and it comes from a character of somebody lifting a heavy load, moving a heavy load. But they also put a yun there, which makes no sense at all. That's when they simplified it. But until you realize that the words yun and dong go together as one word. And so they substituted the jong in dong with a yun. And so that the two words could be made very simple. I'm sure you can't follow that, but the two words, two characters, Yun Dong, are of interest. Someday, if I can actually show you what they look like. Well, winter sports, are not very popular in Nanjing because we almost never see snow. But in the north, there are, you know, we saw some skiing. We had a whole bunch of people going there to ski. And so skiing has become vastly more in recent years, like in the past 20 years, there are places you can go to ski that did not exist 20 years ago. The only people who skied in China 20 years ago were people who lived like way, way out in Manchuria somewhere and didn't have any choice. But we have some places now where, you know, if you want to ski, it's nice to have a clear hill. So we have places now where you can kind of like go and play. There is some opportunity if you happen to live in the north of China to participate in winter sports. But in the south, there are other sports to participate in. I don't have any friends really that paid a great deal of attention. China spent a whole lot of money to set up the Winter Olympics. And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't come because of the pandemic, which is unfortunate. My father was a PE teacher, and he said every person should have their own sport, which he was somewhat against high-level competition for money and all that, and money and fame. You should do a sport because you like it. So lots of people here in China play basketball, not for money or fame.
That's what I was going to. I was going to ask you, I mean, it's very rare. There are a couple exceptions, Yao Ming or whatever, but like that you pursue basketball and you're going to become like a superstar if you're Chinese. But what would you say is like, what's China's sport? Like, what do you think is like, you know, they would say, you know, baseball is America's pastime. That's like America's sport, right? What do you think that is for China?
I'm not sure. The sport that I would guess is most popular among individuals is basketball and NBA. Several years ago, they made a new dictionary, and in the dictionary they had the word NBA, and a bunch of people came around and interviewed Uncle Hansa and said, "Do you think this is a legitimate Chinese word?" And I said, well, all Chinese know what it is, NBA. It must be a Chinese word. But I would say basketball.
Yeah.
People like to watch basketball and play basketball.
It's one thing I know is like, you know, but that is interesting. I agree. I think, you know, basketball would be probably the number one sport. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, like sports are interesting because that, you know, it builds camaraderie and it brings people together. And sometimes, especially with the Olympics, it brings a nation together. And our final character, can you talk about what that word together? What is the Chinese character for that? And how important is that to Chinese culture?
The character He. Someone asked me, does it mean together? Does it have anything to do with together? And the answer is no. But it's interesting. This character He is He Ping. It means peace. A He, which means grain on the side, that's probably a phonetic, and a Ko, which means it's spoken like He. But you can also say if you have grain in your mouth, you're at peace. There are two interpretations. But there's another character. This character is He Ping, the He and He Ping. It means peace. But there's another character, He Zuo, which means to work together. And that character does have something to do with togetherness. On the top, you have an upside mouth, and on the bottom, you have a mouth. That thing on the top is a G. It's an upside down mouth. So it comes from two mouths talking together, and you have He Zuo, which means you agree on something, you do it together.
Yes, I feel the togetherness between you and I. But you can't like you. I can see how peace could be also a related to being together, because you can't, there's no way people can be together unless there's peace, right? You can't be, I mean, unless you're doing this kind of like enemy of my enemy is my friend thing, you can't, you have to have, in order for two or more individuals to come together, you have to have peace between them, right? But let's, but I think that's a great way to end it. I want to thank you so much for teaching me those characters. We've gone shopping, we've cooked food, we drank, we've learned bean paste, we've created pottery, you know, for endless hours on a slow train.
It's been very nice getting to know you too. I don't have many other foreign friends in China, so it's always interesting to see how other foreigners are getting along in China.
All
So
right.
I guess we'll leave it here and we should keep in contact.
Yeah, stay in touch, buddy.
Thanks for listening to my stories of Chinese characters. You can tune to our podcasts on radio.cgtn.com or any other major podcast platforms to have a listen. We also have got videos on places we mentioned in our podcast, and you can check them out on Learn Chinese YouTube channel and Facebook page. And if you want to learn more about Chinese characters, you can come to my website, which explains every Chinese character that you are likely to see. My website is hanziyuan.net. Hope to see you there.
Goodbye, Uncle Hansa.
We'll talk to you
Prosper once
later,
again.
Adam.
And if you'd like to see the middle school production of, never mind, I'm not going to promote my.